right, I think I'm done. I think I'm done bitching. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, and as a final observation, you know that I'm not going to repeat my rant about cell phones. Everybody's heard that a billion times. But I will say that again, this is always the case. They do that thing of make sure your cell phones are turned off because they could cause the whole plane to explode. I realized again as we got off in Portland this morning that my cell phone had not only been on, but that I had inadvertently dialed somebody, like as I'd leaned on the keys. So I was actually inadvertently using my cell phone the entire flight. That's a good feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So if you go down to Pioneer Courthouse Square right now, you can hear somebody playing America the Beautiful on the bagpipes and see Mary Potter. And policemen and firemen are going to be there. So that's the 9/11 commemoration downtown. Meanwhile, the president is taking time to reflect back 5 years ago and went on the Today Show today. This is our first bank of sound bites.
All right. This is, okay. I'm ready. So is there any lead up to this or do I just roll it here?
I just rolled it.
My thinking about the world was changed dramatically.
I have a pet goat.
I realized that my most important responsibility and that of all of us in government is to protect the people.
What did he think his most important responsibility was before that, do you think? To clear brush somewhere? Maybe to learn to juggle?
Well, Dick Cheney was in charge of things back then.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, That's My Bush is coming out on DVD this week.
Oh, that does sound good.
Just in case. It's the definitive collection.
Dick Cheney choked back the tears, as he recalled, when he realized his nation was at war.
Suddenly our nation was at war, and the switch to a war footing here was immediate. A witness said, "My most vivid memory of that day is the sea of khaki Navy uniforms, doing what we were trained to do, fight the fire, find your shipmates."
That, he almost sounded like he was going to start faking an emotion there for a second. Almost. It was like maybe if you could see it over the horizon somewhere.
Here's Joe Lieberman's 9/11.
We must not allow ourselves on questions of security and on the war on terrorism to be divided by any artificial divider.
Where is he? Divided by any... I don't even know what that means. What is he... Where is he speaking there?
Connecticut.
Okay. Just like in a laundromat somewhere?
Yeah.
Just sitting there on a bench between the cheer dispenser and the Downy machine. Just sort of a, hello, please.
No... Here's Henry Kissinger's 9/11.
Oh, God.
These attacks are not military forces, but they're small.
At what point? I'm sorry, I'm so loopy today. I haven't slept at all. And I'm so angry about everything today. Oh, my God. At what point did Henry Kissinger turn into Mr. Toad? I mean, seriously. It's sort of just a... It's almost as though... Like, he can't even really breathe anymore. It's as though he's just got some sort of gas escaping from inside his thorax. And he's just able to sort of move his mouth enough to just sort of, Mr. President, I believe we are sliding towards oblivion. All right, let me...
These attacks are not military forces, but they're small units that often live in our society. So you have a totally different nature of the threat and a different diplomacy that has to go with it.
All right, now see, if I was more awake, I might be able to answer this. But doesn't it sound like he is... Aaron would know this. Doesn't it sound like he's some sort of Star Wars... character
These
there?
Attacks are not military forces, but they're small units that often live
if
in
he's not, if there
society,
isn't a Star Wars
so
character who talks this way, there really ought to be.
Nature of the threat and a different diplomacy that has to go with it.
It's sort of a, like a, not an Emperor Palpatine. It's something there. There's somebody who talks like that. All right. Let's get Todd. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Oh, you know, it's been an interesting couple of days. What's up,
bro? Hey, I flew this morning as well out of San Diego, and what my wife ended up buying this face cream down there, and real expensive stuff. She was going through, as we're going through the security line, getting her ID out, she said, oh, my God, I have it in my pocket.
Yep.
Or in her purse. And so I stuck it, I wear cargo pants, and I just stuck it in the side pocket.
Yep.
And unless they're going to frisk you... You can get it through. So we ended up going through the where they do the radar or the searching your carry-on.
The X-ray, yeah.
We ended up, the X-ray. We went into the Travel Mart and bought a bag of trail mix, and I stuck that on the other side and walked right straight through.
Well, that's the other thing. You say you walk straight through. That's exactly what we did. There were two different things that happened this morning, and as I told Jim Rubin, I was just going to recap simply because it is just so stunning that they're so bad about this. That there were two things. There was me, and I had the little bottle of shave oil, and I put that in the plastic bowl that goes through the X-ray machine. And I know that they saw it because, as I noted, it was right next to my money clip, which they told me to take back because she, quote, didn't think they could keep it safe. Because it is, you know, it's a whole 2 feet away from them.
Well, she knows her fellow employees.
And there's like 15 security guards right there, and she doesn't think they can keep my $10 from being stolen. So.
And we even had the military. They had guys dressed up in, I don't know if they're Army or Navy or who they were, but military guys actually went through her purse twice.
Yeah, that's.
Never even looked at me.
That's the other thing is, and my wife went through and she had the makeup in her pocket. And so she also noted, by the way, that if you are a woman, not that we would advocate or encourage this, this would be wrong. But she noted if you're a woman and you really wanted to get something through, all you have to do is stick in your bra. Because this is the thing. Here's the thing, because they just.
No, there are places that they won't pat, just like Val Kilmer in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, where he hides the gun. Because it's like homophobes won't touch me there.
Exactly.
As long as it's not metal, you can get it through. I mean, like, you know, as far as your shaving oil and stuff like that, if it's in a plastic or suntan lotion in plastic.
It's just pointless. It's pointless. And it doesn't make any sense at all. And this is the other thing. I remember, like, way, way back in, like, 6 months ago when I flew. So I forget what it was the last time I flew someplace was. But I remember when, like, I would have to take off my watch and my bracelets because they would beep and my belt buckle when I went through. That's the other weird thing about it. Sometime between then, which is, like, I don't know, probably 7 months ago, which is the last time I flew somewhere. About 7 months ago, I remember going through the PDX security, and I remember having to take off my belt, my bracelets, my watch, and my rings because they beeped. Not this time. Didn't beep at all.
If you had to travel more than 500 miles, would you do it by plane or by car?
I swear to God, if I can ever again avoid flying in an airplane, from this day forward, and I don't think I'm just I am speaking from a place of anger, but I think I'll feel the same way next week. And my wife and I, we were just, granted, we are perhaps more liberal and more aware of and when I say rights, I mean, not only the rights as they are enumerated in the Constitution, but also just the freedom as an American not to be screwed with at every opportunity. And people can mouth all they want at me about how airlines are private companies and they're private corporations and whatever, but you know what? They are regulated and operated by the government to a great extent. I mean, that's...
You're right, but it's... We talked about that this morning at the airport. We said, you know what, if you had to go more than 500 miles, you'd probably...
That's the thing. That's the thing. But from this day forward, if I can ever again avoid giving an airline a single dollar, I will do it. I will do whatever I can to not give any money to an airline. I mean, it's just... I was so angry this morning. It was just beyond words. And again, not just angry because they're poking through my crap, but angry because they're doing it in a way that is clearly inefficient and pointless.
It's hard to drive to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's true. All right, thank you, Todd.
Hey, brother.
How about an ocean cruise?
Sarah's totally
aboard
right.
A friendship.
If you're a guy, not that you should do this, but if you're a guy wanted to get some money, you stick it by the junk. If you're a woman, put in the bra. I didn't see them pat down a single person. Not at all. They were too busy randomly yanking every third bag over to the side. And that's a terrible feeling, too, when the guy kind of points at me and he goes, sir? And I go, yeah, and he goes, search your bag? And it's like, what are you going to do?
Yes, please.
Yeah, please. Would you do?
I always get searched.
I get an enema, too, while I'm here?
Well, up until this last point, I would always bring, you know, because I'm totally afraid of flying, I'd bring mini bottles with me.
Yeah.
I'd go to the liquor store.
No,
and buy,
not
like,
anymore.
Yeah, 8 little bottles of vodka, and if they're sealed, it was never
a
problem.
Isn't that handy now? You can buy them on the plane, though,
for
$5. And by the way, somebody who works at an airline here, I believe, has told me, they've emailed me here, and they've said that the reason that United closes their planes 45 minutes ahead of time, by the way, Southwest does not, so I know it's not a governmental or TSA regulation. They noted that the reason that United closes the plane 45 minutes ahead of time, thus requiring me to stay at a hostel in Inglewood, is because it's the same reason that Gene Simmons makes the concert start 45 minutes later. So you can be at the concession stand buying crap and be at the T-shirt place, you know, buying Kiss keychains for $45. Mm-hmm. It's so you can be on the plane buying screwdrivers and mimosas for $5 a pop. So I have no doubt that's what it is. So, I mean, that certainly plays that is a huge part of it. My question is also this, since And it is completely appropriate that we talk about it today because it is 9/11. So I have no, it doesn't bother me at all to spend a lot of time talking about this. My question is, well, you know what? I'm gonna put it on hold because I'm looking at the screen here. And we've got somebody special we want to bring on. Sarah, do we have the storm watch open?
Oh, yeah.
This will be good. This will be like a sorbet to take the pleasant brackish taste off my tongue.
Attention residents of the greater metropolitan Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage. I take control of the show and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
All right. You know, not for very many people would I go through what I went through this weekend. There are not a whole lot of folks, not a whole lot of people, not a whole lot of situations for which I would be prodded, poked, and have my personal possessions waved in front of me and then thrown away by some minimum wage idiot with a gun. But among those people and situations is our good friend Storm Large, who, although not performing, was a big part of Rockstar Supernova this year. It's why I went down to Los Angeles. It says here, Davey Nipples and Storm calling. And this is... Davey and Storm? Am I speaking
to
both of you?
We're in bed.
Oh, together again.
Like, so like a John and Yoko moment?
But more bruises.
Hey, has anybody pointed out that when you guys get married, you will actually be Storm Large Nipples?
Yep.
Okay.
Storm Large hyphen Nipples.
Wanted to make sure that I was... I know that every DJ on Earth has probably made that joke, but I wanted to point it out. Oh, God. How are you guys?
We're great. How was your trip down here, Rick?
Have you missed the last hour of the show? Good God.
Everything that didn't involve being in, going to, or coming from an airport was fine.
Oh, did you enjoy the show? I heard you bumped into some folks I grew up with in Massachusetts.
This was really cool, actually. Laura and I were on, I haven't done my recap, but we might as well start now. So this is, we were on the floor, kind of, I'll just give everybody the layout. The place is actually, it's such a cliche, but it's smaller than it appears on television. If you envision the Roseland, that's up, but take away the side balconies. That's kind of what this place was like. And if Storm's stage dive during the Dramarama song was about center stage, we were a little bit behind and to the left of that. So at about 8 o'clock from where Storm did her stage dive. And, right next to us, there was a woman wearing a Storm shirt. And I told Lauren, I'm like, look, there's somebody wearing it. Cause, you know, there's all the Toby signs and the, whatever, the Lucas, you know, the Rossi posse or whatever the hell those are. And I'm like, oh, there's somebody in a Storm shirt. And so Lara leans over, she's like, oh, are you friends of Storm? And, you know, are you here for Storm? And she's like, we grew up with Storm. And I had read that article in the paper about some, what is it? You knew them in fourth grade? Is that the deal?
Yeah, these girls I grew up with in Southborough, Massachusetts. And they went totally ballistic. I mean, I see them every time I go home for holidays, and we're old friends. One in particular, she's 3 months older than me, and we totally grew up together. Her mom was like my mom. But they went ballistic with the show, and they called all the press, and they had rallies. They rented a trolley. And, hey, Davey, you want to get this? Okay, never mind. but they went totally nuts, and it was great, and they came out here for the last taping, and even though I wasn't on the show, we had a great time hanging out, and they said they ran into you guys, and it was really cool.
They were totally cool, and you could just see they were so happy to be out there and just so happy that you had been a part of it. I mean, they were just great. They were giddy. They were out of their skin with it. They were very cool, and that's a pretty great thing, you know, that, I mean, even after all this time that you've kept in touch with them. And they were, and every time the camera passed us, the woman had her Storm shirt on. She sort of lifted it up, or they had like a little hand sign, like a Storm hand sign they were doing.
Yep.
And they were into it. So it was a pretty interesting experience, not really what I anticipated.
Really, yeah, it's weird with TV time versus what you see at home is really... It's really remarkable, but considering all of the details, it's amazing how airtight and quickly it actually does run, considering all the ins and outs and comps and things.
I got to tell you, man, one of the things that we've been saying for the longest time, but that I really realized yesterday watching that taping at Rockstar, was how great that house band is. They were just astonishing.
Aren't they amazing? And they're just the best guys, too. I've got all their numbers, so I'm not going to lose touch with any of them. And I'm going on tour with them in January, opening for Supernova.
Really? Okay,
what?
So wait. No one told us this.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's breaking news.
Hot off the presses. They're going to pick three or four of the contestants to go on the road with the house band, opening for Panic Channel and Supernova, from January the 16th, starting in Florida and doing like 26 cities throughout the United States, ending the end of February, and I was the first person that they signed on for the tour.
That is so great. And is it is it going to be a full set where it's like four or five of you alternating or doing, do you know the specifics of that yet? And is it going to be...
I don't have the specifics other than the dates and the cities yet. But all I know for sure is that there are 2 days off right around Portland.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, when we talked to Nate Morton, and he just raved about you. He was the drummer from the house band, was a big fan of yours.
He's going to be actually in the studio with Davey and I. Davey and James came down here to, we're going to track Ladylike, hopefully with our fingers and toes crossed, with Mr. Dave Navarro. And we're just waiting on his schedule, but we're going to be in the studio today and tomorrow to re-release a rock version of it, produced by Korn's producer. I can't remember
Ross
his name because I'm a big fat square.
Is that Ross Robinson?
Josh.
Josh Rob something. All right.
Yep, something like that.
Something like that, some guy.
some guy from L.A. who did stuff.
And so is this, because that's a thing that, you're on the final episode that you were on, they were talking about, we want to back you up in the song. So is that, you want to get that together and put it out as a single, or do you want to get it, is it going to be on the record, or is it too soon to say, or?
It's too soon to say, but we're definitely going to pump the single first and then try to generate a bunch of momentum with that and get the rest of my originals out there and then go on tour around the world and then buy an island and fake my own death.
Fantastic. That is so cool.
So Storm, is this a thing where you're going to get to take your band on the road as well, or is it just going to be you with the house band for the tour?
This time the tour with Supernova will be me and the house band. But when I go on the road, I'm sure there will be a ball or two in tow, for sure.
Excellent. There was actually a Slack moment in the taping last night. They were doing this thing with Ryan where they gave away a car, and I'll kind of talk about that later. But the house band was kind of trying to keep people entertained, and it was the most bittersweet moment because the house band just decided to strike up a song to entertain us all, and they played Suffragette City. And it was just, and Laura and I were just kind of, it was just this great, terrible, wonderful, awful moment. But so you were for a brief moment, you were kind of there in spirit. So,
One of the guys from the house band called me, and he goes, it's not going to be the same today without you there. We just wanted you to know that we love you, and it's just not going to be the same going to work without being able to see you. You're one of our favorite people to work with.
And I got to say,
sick of me this winter, man.
I got to say, I know you got to do some other things. You probably got a billion, because you're on Ellen today, right?
Ellen DeGeneres at 4 p.m. Isn't that crazy?
That's so cool.
Now, is that a thing you've already taped, or is that kind of live, or how does that show work?
It did on Thursday, but it came up. See, what I found out later is that she's a huge fan of Rockstar Supernova. And the minute I got booted off the show, she picked up the phone and called the CBS press coordinator and said, get me Storm Large on the show tomorrow.
That is so cool.
All happened at 9 p.m. Now, I had been up really late Wednesday night talking to family and friends. And people were like, oh, my God, are you all right? And then I had a press to do starting at 6 in the morning where you're on the phone with the entire world all day long. So around 9 p.m. the night before this long press junket, I'm told I have to be on camera with Ellen DeGeneres the next evening after I'd not slept, been on this emotional, crazy roller coaster ride, and I had no clean clothes at all to wear. And I was a physical and emotional wreck. not to mention a probably fairly stinky one. But I made it on the show, and everyone tells me it was great, but I honestly only remember flashes of it because I was so sleep-deprived by the time I got there. I just kind of remember her looking at me a little bit pie-eyed and maybe a little frightened.
Somebody told me, I'm trying to find this email. There was somebody who was at... It's so bizarre that we have people who are just sort of everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't really think about that, but this show does have fans who are in a lot of places. Somebody sent me an email this morning that I can't find right now, but they basically said, Storm is going to be on Ellen today at 4. Be sure to watch the segments where Ellen is clearly mooning over her.
Oh.
So, I think,
wait,
you know.
See,
I got that she was a little bit maybe taken aback by how loud I was.
Apparently she was very clearly just kind of making eyes at you, though. She's obviously a very big fan of you and, you know, and thinks you're the bee's knees. So
it was that's awesome. And she gave me, you know, I got a little gift bag that it was lovely. I got a box of chocolates and a robe, a scented candle, and some Ellen DeGeneres boxer shorts.
We're big fans of her, actually, on the show. I know a lot of people don't like Ellen, but we are big fans of her.
She's really funny. You know, she struck me as someone who is painfully shy.
Yeah.
But very funny and is in the position. Kind of like you. You're not painfully shy, but given your druthers, you'd probably just, you know, lock yourself in your room.
Yeah, yes.
You're very funny and loquacious and quick. And so that's your talent, that's your skill, and you use it. But she strikes me as that kind of person, like incredibly intelligent, incredibly quick, but just very kind of shy and introverted.
Do you
know what I mean? That interesting kind of combination.
Yeah, well, she's a little probably a little too smart for the room, and so she's kind of a misfit because of that. But that's what makes her so funny, I think. And
exactly. And I got to meet Portia de Rossi, who's also a big fan. And she's just lovely in person. She had no makeup on, shook my hand, she was eating a burrito, and she's like, oh my God, we love you on the show, and I'm just staring at her.
Is she
so surreal.
Is Portia de Rossi just completely beautiful in person, close up like that?
Absolutely. She's very tiny, tiny build, just beautiful, sunny, and warm, and Ellen was really lovely, and just these, Ellen has the most, I know it sounds crazy, but she's the most piercing blue eyes. You know how huskies have those weird, like, pale,
totally
crazy blue eyes? She's got that total, like, wolfy blue eye thing that was gorgeous. She's a very beautiful woman, very kind. Her whole staff was very cool. Everyone, they gave me chicken. They gave me candy. It was wonderful.
You can't ask for more than that. We're talking to Storm Large. So you performed a song. Is it Ladylike, or what did you perform on Ellen?
Because it was September, it's September 11th, and the segment was being taped for today.
Right.
We did We Are the Champions.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know how it's going to sound. My voice was so ripped apart by doing so much phone press. I probably sound a little bit like Delana, but we'll see.
Yeah. I'll refrain from comment on that. Can we talk to your boy toy for a second?
Absolutely.
All right.
Hi, boy toy here.
Hey.
Well, I gotta pull some of this duct tape off my wrist. Hold on.
Davey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you guys holding up?
Oh, though we're
happy for you, my dear.
We're okay. Yeah,
good.
I gotta tell you, and you. I mean, you know this is true too. When we talked to Storm the day after she, got eliminated on the show, and even that day, it just felt and sounded like there was just such a huge weight off of her, and it sounds like there's one off both of you guys. Like you just are. There's a lot of pressure that's been released.
There has been. I have to say, I think you commented on it. That Wednesday when the news came down the pike with the spoilers, like around 12-something, even though we all knew it was coming at one point, we all knew this day was going to come, whether it was that Wednesday or this Wednesday, it hit me hard and it hit me weird. You know, I was kind of chatting with Sarah back and forth while you guys were on the show. It was just a weird cloud that overcame everybody. It overcame my work, everyone at my work, my family. It just, the mood was generally kind of disturbing for a few hours. And then the show aired and you got to see a lot more of the detail and the emotion and the impact. And, you know, so by Thursday or Friday, it started mellowing out. But I have been just so busy just dealing with the aftermath of it all. But it's all totally positive. It couldn't have gone down any better, in my opinion. To me, it's been picture perfect. You know, she's just been darling of the press, and everyone's loved it and just made a huge impact on the world. You know, we're just trying to ride this wave. You know, it's hella crazy for sure.
Well, for what it's worth, there's, with the, you know, the, at least the taping, and maybe it's because we didn't see the put together show. We saw the in studio thing, but there's a big hole, I guess. I mean, there was a big, you could feel like the absence of Storm last night.
I haven't read any of the spoilers or heard anything from anybody about last night's
taping. It just seemed,
and nor will I be able to watch it on Tuesday, because we're going to be busy, but so we're pretty much just going to miss it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm not trying to dog any of those other guys, but it's weird. It did seem, maybe it's just my perspective, but it did seem like there was some momentum that sort of had gone out of it, because, you know, there's, you know, Storm always just had so much energy and whatever. So, but, you know, one way or the other, will be over in 48 hours. Does Storm have a prediction about who's going to win?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
I still think Lucas is going to win. I really do. Nobody seems to think it in the outside world, but I really, personally, what I would love to see is Lucas fronting it, because he's got that androgyny that you know, he's definitely a strutting male.
Totally.
But he's got that kind of swaggery, Mick Jaggery, female, lick your lips with glitter in your eyes kind of thing. And I love him, and I think his voice is very dynamic, and I think it would bring a lot of color to them. You know, Toby is a man's man. He's like a party guy, get it up there, like frat rock and hoo-ha, Australian bravado. Magni is a very powerful singer. I don't think he's got a very, you know, he doesn't have much of a varying presence from Supernova. The Supernova guys, I mean, Tommy's very colorful, but most of those guys are fairly stodgy, stoic, not very sparkly characters,
right,
other than Tommy.
Right.
So I think they really need a sparkly, like, really,
hood ornament.
Swishy hood ornament up front who with some vocal chops. And I think that's Lukey. I really do. I'd love to see him up there.
A big swishy hood ornament. That's genius. I think and have thought from the beginning that he had a good chance. If I had to rank it now, I would say that he is probably the most likely candidate, followed by Toby, if only because the chicks dig that guy so much.
Oh, yeah, Toby will sell out stadiums just with his bat in his blue eyes.
Oh, man. Girls,
and you know what? Yeah. For the record, for the listeners out there, I finally got a chance to see some of the photographs on the MSN Rockstar site.
Yeah.
And there is an awful-looking picture of Toby and I.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like we're totally making out.
I was going to ask.
I don't know if they showed it on the webisode, but
no.
What he had done was put a huge piece of cake in his mouth and shoved his face against my face. And Davey said, there's a really bad picture of you and Toby online. I was like, what? And I thought, it looks awful. I met Toby's parents, and his parents were a little sheepish around me as well.
For what it's worth, during Toby's performance last night, there was, and I don't think it'll make it to the television exactly for this reason, but there's a moment, he brought Magni out to play with him, and there's a moment when, in this sort of choreographed move, Toby is singing, Magni takes off the guitar and then kneels in front of him and holds the guitar up for Toby to hit. And it's like from the back, all you see is Magni on his knees and his head right at belt buckle level. It really looks like the priest and the altar boy having a private moment. It really does.
Killer.
So when you guys are going to spend, I would imagine, some quality time staying in the bed and just ordering room service for the next however long. When you going to be back in Portland?
I think we're flying back on Thursday, but I think what we're doing is just going to take a phone and computer and humanity hiatus. We're both down here, but it's all business while we're here.
There's a lot of shop stuff to deal with while we're here.
I would imagine. So, all right. Well, we will we'll let you go back to the press
the
and the duct tape and the what have you.
There's a lot of press going on.
Yeah, there's so much. Yeah.
Are you uncomfortable yet, Rick?
No, this, see, this.
No, see, you've broken us now, Davey. After, like, when you've been out of town, Storm, and we've been out with Davey, he's shared some personal things about how much he missed you.
He's grabbed my crotch. Let's just call it what it is. No, and I got to tell you, and Storm, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I really don't. But I got to tell you, talking to you today, and it is, you just sound like you, it sounds like we kind of have you back, the real Storm. Do you know what I mean? You sound like you're in just such a better, more relaxed, more calm place right now.
I really, really am. Now I got to work on gaining some freaking weight back. All my friends from Massachusetts were like, okay, yeah, have some nuts. Okay, yeah, have some more nuts. Have a sandwich. You know, I'm a little bit bony for my own taste. So that's my, my thing is to get some rest, get some nutrition, and, lay down some music, and then
absolutely
get to Portland and just see everybody.
All right. Well, as always, we're so proud of you, and you guys take some time, relax, decompress, detox, whatever, and enjoy it. And we'll see y'all whenever you arrive back in Portland. The city will be
here.
We'll
let you know. We'll definitely let you know. There will be a public Storm mooning and fawning session, and then there will be, you know, little barbecues here and there. So,
fantastic.
But I have to do a public thank you to Portland in some fashion. I don't know what I'll do, but
we got some stuff cooking. We're looking into different ideas and shows and whatnot right now, but we're nothing solid yet.
All yeah, right. I can't wait.
Well,
I thank you guys and Portland and the whole Northwest enough. It's just been amazing. You guys got me through, seriously, and I know it sounds corny, but you guys really got me through this. It was really a hard thing I went through, and without your support, I would have folded completely.
Well, it comes from the right place here. I mean, everybody loves you. So you guys take it easy, relax, and keep us in the loop, and we will absolutely see you when you get back. All right?
Right on.
Okay.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Rick,
guys.
Sarah.
Bye, Sarah. Bye, Rick.
Bye,
all
you guys.
Right,
see you
soon. All right, there you go.
Indeed. Bye.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Storm Large.
Oh, they're so cute.
Baby nipples. They really are so cute.
They are the most... I'm so glad that they are public about it now, because they have been the cutest couple forever.
And it just sounds so gay for me to talk about, but they really are adorable.
They're completely perfect balance for each other.
And the thing is, they're so cute, how do I put this? You don't really think... We're so behind. We got to get Clyde and we got Kristen here.
And we've got Gary in 7 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus. I just got to make this observation. You don't really, I mean, it's not that Storm isn't attractive. She is, but you don't necessarily look at Storm and think cute. And you don't necessarily look at Davey and think cute. Because they're all, you know, tattooed and sort of rough and tumble and sort of blah, 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 you know, and whatever. But then together, they're just so mushy and domestic. And so we'll tell this. And then do we have to break, or what? How are we going to do this?
No, I'll just push the break after Gary.
Well, I'll just tell the story that when we filmed this documentary, I was a teenage dirtbag, and Davey is in it, and he talks a lot about being in Everclear and being in Sweaty Nipples and whatever. And when Joni and Patrick and I went over to Storm and Davey's house to film this, it was so great because you walk into their house, and it's like Davey's like there, and he's like in his bathrobe, and he's all like, and he's like scratching himself. It's like, yeah, I'm going to get some coffee. I'll be with you in a minute. And then you walk into the kitchen, and there's Storm. You know, there's like this 6-foot-tall Amazon covered in tattoos, and she's like making pancakes and whistling to herself. And it's just, they're like the world's least likely domestic bliss couple. I mean, they're just, it's like if you watch that Decline of Western Civilization documentary, and they show Ozzy at home, like pouring orange juice and like cooking waffles, and he's all, hello, and come in, have some pancakes. And that's totally what it's like when you see them together. You expect them just to be so crazy and whatever, and they are sometimes, but they're like one big Hallmark card. I mean, it really is weird. All right.
Slide on?
Well, let's bring him on, shall we? Ladies and gentlemen, the original hairy, scary guy, Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
How do you top that? You just can't.
How do you top the calling it, hello, we're in bed together, covered in tape? Yeah, bruises. There's really nowhere to go after that, so.
It's great. I don't know if you caught the Dave Navarro interview with Storm. It was an amazing interview. I was listening to that, too.
I know that she's done a ton and ton and ton of press, and
I've got people. Actually, I have students that when I talk to them on the phone, they know I'm here in Portland, and they say, So is Storm really that cool?
Yeah, she really is. We met, there's not just these girls that she went to school with, but a lot of people I saw at the taping yesterday who, you know, they saw us standing with the girl with the Storm shirt, and they had a lot of questions about her and da-da-da-da. So,
yeah. I mean, it just seems she's just the buzz, and everybody, you know, she's made such an impact that, you know, when it starts getting into what I do over here, I just think it's amazing how much of an impact she's made on everybody. So
what's up with you, brother?
Well, tonight they're moving me earlier at 7:30. I'll be at Dante's. I don't know who was thinking or what they were thinking, but they booked two bands, so I'm going to be going earlier than the two bands. But it's 9/11, of course. It's a day for me to talk about something, and you're going to really be surprised at what I'm going to talk about.
Does it have to do with tapioca?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
I know a lot of people think that, you know, Clyde Lewis is a conspiracy idiot who believes in every conspiracy that comes down the road, and that he's gullible, and that sometimes his stuff is just outrageous.
I don't know anybody who thinks that.
Well, few people do. I know they do, because they think that, you know, they don't think I'm credible because I believe in conspiracy theories. I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I believe in exploring them and investigating them. And there is one conspiracy theory that's out there that I do not believe in, and I'm going to prove once and for all that it's an outright lie, and it's disinformation about 9/11, and that is there are a number of idiots out there who believe that a plane did not hit the Pentagon. There was a plane that hit the Pentagon, and I have pictures to prove it. I have testimony to prove it. And so I'm basically going to kick at those who believe it, you know, believe in nonsense, and I'm going to prove once and for all that this is what happened and that we need to stop believing in crap about this and start realizing that, you know, what it does is it obfuscates and basically poisons the well for those who are really interested in finding out what truly happened on that day instead of, rolling everybody together as some weird conspiracy whack jobs. I mean, I was on Penn and Teller a while ago, the Penn and Teller show, and they put me in with everybody who believed in all these strange ideas, but I didn't support any of those ideas, and that's the thing that was the most unfortunate about being on the Penn and Teller show. I'm going to be on a History Channel show probably coming up in October or November. It's about the moon landing, but what's really interesting about that is that there are a number of scientists and people who are all speculating either way or and just discussing it openly, like you should discuss everything. So, I mean, you know...
Is it true that we almost blew up an atomic bomb on the moon?
Yes. Back in the 1950s, they were going to fire... That was their first idea, was they were going to set off an atomic bomb on the moon, and it would have basically created a huge fireball in space and then a huge ring around the moon that would cause a smoke ring around the moon that would be around the moon for decades. They were planning on doing that.
That seems like a good idea.
Yeah. There were a lot of things they were experimenting with, and plus now they're saying we're going to go back to the moon in 2014... the Orion project is underway right now, and they want to go back, and they want to, I guess they're going to try and prove once for all that we went by going back. But, you know, every country that said that they wanted to go back to the moon has never gone. China was supposed to go. Japan was supposed to go. They never went. They basically mothballed their entire program.
It's being mocked.
And, no, those are just some...
Are you being mocked by your coworkers?
No, actually, I got some girls in the background that are laughing, so I have a bunch of women who laugh and have a good time with me.
Well, so what is the thrust that you, of your talk tonight at Dante's?
Well, basically, I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to talk about 9/11, and I'm just going to say, you know, it's been 5 years, and there's nothing more new being said in the conspiracy realms, and I'm going to basically say that something new is being said, and that is that anyone who believes in the cockamamie idea that no plane hit the Pentagon, they're going to be wrong, and I'm going to prove them wrong with pictures. And I've been doing a lot of visuals at the show lately, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who've been to the shows. We've been packing the house every Monday night, and they've been going to the shows, and they've been really getting enlightened by what I have to say. And I show them, look, this is what you need to look at. And they see it, and they're like walking away going, oh, this is amazing. I just did a show the other night, last Monday, about how they're using religious imagery in a lot of pictures.
Oh, I saw that. There was that picture of Bill Frist or whoever it was, and it was like him with the halo over his head.
And that was done 2 days after I had mentioned it at Ground Zero Lounge. So what happens is I usually mention it, and it happened. You know, that's the kind of thing. You usually get the news before it's news, and that's what I pride myself on.
You create the news, Glenn Lewis.
I think I do. I don't know. It's kind of weird the way things happen, but it does happen.
So what time is it getting away? 8 o'clock tonight?
It'll be 7:30 tonight instead of 8. I'll be there promptly at 7:30 because I'm going to probably be fighting the sound checks. Hopefully I won't be. But they're going to be moving us into the Limbo Lounge, which is a lounge over the other side, not in the middle of the auditorium. So I want to pack the house and show Dante's that, you know, we can still... You know, pack them in and everything else. And there'll be a lot of people there, I'm sure, to see the bands. They're going to be really enlightened by what I have to say, too.
All right. ClydeLewis.com is the website for all your terrifying needs. ClydeLewis.com, and then see him tonight at Dante's at 7:30. All right, brother man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Clyde Lewis. Good God. Are we stopping, Sarah? No, we're not.
We're not.
We're plunging straight ahead, aren't we? All right, there you go. More show than any one person can handle. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now welcome from the Big Apple, Gary Baumgarten. Hello, sir.
Good morning or afternoon, whatever it is over there.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. Hanging in.
From the city that cannot be stopped, from the greatest city on earth, yep. You are, as David Letterman would say. All right, so here's a dumb question, and I'm not going to sit and talk about this, ask you the same things, that is retread the same ground that everybody is probably retreading with you today since you are in New York City. But here's a dumb question. What does it feel like to be a New Yorker today? What's it feel like to live in New York on this day?
Well, I think throughout one's daily experience in New York City, one thinks at one time or another about what happened on 9/11 and the threat of terrorism and the fact that the city remains a viable target for the terrorists and very vulnerable. We're reminded about it by it in many, many ways every day, but it's never as pronounced as on the anniversary. And this being the fifth anniversary, perhaps even more so, people are more focused on it. And what really struck me today as I watched the ceremony unfold here at Ground Zero was that the day today was so similar to that of September 11th, 2001. Just a beautiful day with sun shining. One would not have a care in the world. You know, the sun is glittering off of the buildings just like it glittered off the World Trade Center Twin Towers on that day prior to the attacks. And so it just kind of was an odd feeling knowing that that not only was this the anniversary, but it just was so similar in appearance and feel.
Not to just sit and relive unpleasant things, but where were you on 9/11? Where were you when everything went down, when it all happened?
I was at my home in New Jersey. The first plane slammed into the first tower, and they, of course, called me from Atlanta, told me to get the city as quickly as possible. By the time I got to the crossing, the Holland Tunnel under the Hudson River, the second plane had hit. They closed it off. So I stood at Liberty State Park in New Jersey looking across the water, and I was on the air live as the towers came down. Mm. At the time, I was frustrated that I hadn't been able to get into the city, but in retrospect, it was fortuitous on two counts. One, I was able to maintain a cellular signal out of New Jersey, which I would have lost in Lower Manhattan. They had lost all cell service to Lower Manhattan. And secondly, I was safe, you know.
Right.
Can't report the story if you're under the rubble. So it turned out to be all right for me and a lot worse for a lot of other people.
And, I mean, I mean, do you sense today that there's fear in New York City, or are people, I mean, I'll tell you a story. I was in New York, obviously not when this happened, but I was in New York, I think that Christmas. I think it was Christmas of 2001 I spent in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And I have it framed at home, actually. It's the Daily News from, I spent the Christmas all the way through New Year's, and it was the New Year's Eve edition of the Daily News. Mm-hmm. And it was the best front page I think I've ever seen to a paper. It was a picture of you know, the decorations up and the whatever, and then in huge letters taking up at the whole front page, it just said "No fear" in huge letters.
Right.
And I mean, is that kind of the sense you get to there today, that people are just very much, their shoulders are squared and they're just gonna, like, you know, get right through it?
Well, I think that, as I said earlier, people are aware that we're a potential terrorist target again. In fact, you know, we ride the subways and we hear announcements constantly. If you see something, report it. And they're not talking about pickpockets, like,
sure,
you know,
sure.
They're talking about the real deal here. When you go into Grand Central or into Penn Station, same kind of thing. You see people, armored vehicles and National Guardsmen with long guns in their hands and stuff. And so it's not the same as it was, obviously, before September 11th. So we're constantly reminded. But that being said, nobody's stopping living their lives. The subway ridership is up to record levels. Tourism to New York City is up to a figure that is greater than predated 2001. Now, what does that say not just about New Yorkers, but about Americans and any other freedom-loving person who comes here to show support for New York City, and I consider a decision to come here as a tourist a show of support. It just shows that we're a very resilient people, and, you know, we recognize, I think, that this is with us for the rest of our lives and probably our children's lives and maybe our children's lives to some degree, but that we're going to continue to enjoy the freedoms that we have and live the lives that we choose to live. People can live whatever life they want to live, you know, but and it doesn't have to be in agreement with the way we live here in the West. That's fine, but they don't have a right to come and attack us as they did 5 years ago. And, you know, we're not going to, I don't think, as a society, allow that to them to change us. It may change some of the things we do. It may change our approach to things. It may make us a little bit more vigilant, you know, like they say in the announcements on the subway. If somebody leaves a bag, you're going to report it.
Sure.
Rather than pick it up and take it to the lost and found. You know, and it's going to cause for an evacuation of a subway platform or something like that. Yeah, things have changed in that regard. It's a lot longer and, you know, a very tenuous procedure sometimes to get onto airplanes, but it doesn't stop us from flying. The levels of passenger on the passenger levels on the airplanes are way up now, they tell me. So, you know, every time I've flown recently, it's been a full flight. So I just think that not just here in New York, Rick, but I think just across the nation, people are saying, okay, we recognize it's there. We recognize that it could happen. We recognize that the president says it probably will happen again, but that's not going to stop us from living our life.
Absolutely. Well, I can't think of a better way to put it than that, my friend. So, all right. Well, my friend, as somebody on the West Coast or somebody in New York, you know, thanks for being there and thanks for sharing your thoughts with us, my friend.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Not at all, Gary. It is always a pleasure. All right. We will talk to you very soon, Gary. All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. He's
Goodbye.
Gone. It's a trap. All right. All right, there you go. Boy, that guy's just one big raw nerve. Jesus, you can just hear it. I can't even imagine what a weird vibe it must be, you know, to be in that place. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This show is just zipping by today. Well, the drugs come. So what do we got at 1? We got Ed McCarthy coming up. Fantastic. Ed McCarthy coming up from the Dirty South in a while. We got more of Tim Riley. Later on, Peter Carlin. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.